What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
There's been a lot in the news recently about the changing face of the NBL and in particular the Perth Wildcats. There were concerns that there wouldn't be a basketball season for the next year or so, but thankfully that's not the case. To help us understand a little bit more about the situation, I'm joined this morning by Wildcats CEO Nick Marvin. Nick, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Good morning, pleasure to be here.
Tell us, what is going on with the NBL? Because I guess we're getting bits and pieces, although seeing as we're competing with the AFL season, we don't perhaps hear enough, but what is actually happening with the NBL?
In short, the owners of the various clubs in the NBL decided about a year ago to unite with Basketball Australia and reform the sport nationwide. That reform has really not gone as planned or as expected to date. And about 3 weeks ago, there was a new CEO put into Basketball Australia by the name of Larry Sengstock, who was a great NBL player. And his work in the last 3 years has been tremendous. At that time, two clubs, the Tigers and the Dragons, decided to pull out of the competition. And that really caused a lot of confusion in the marketplace. But since the new CEO has stepped in, the amount of work that and progress that has happened has been significant. And it certainly gives me and most of the other clubs in the league great confidence in moving forwards. We now, given the knowledge we know, we expect the league to go ahead this year. We expect there to be eight teams, including a team from Melbourne. And we expect a very good broadcast deal in place in the short term, which will put at least 60 to 70% of our games on TV. So we're looking very good. It's just that a lot more has to happen in a very short period of time.
Can you see further down the track, once this new competition is set up, that the other capital cities who have pulled out, the capital city teams that have pulled out, will come back on board, or have they really pulled the plug completely?
The amount of change that and the progress that has happened in the last 3 weeks has really given some of the clubs that have pulled out a reason for second thought. What we expected was a brand spanking new league starting October 1 this year. What we're going to see is a two-year strategy of reform, which I believe will end with between 12 to 14 clubs in the championship as early as next year.
Of course, one of the things that had been said in the media when this started to happen, and they were talking about the possibility of a season not happening this year, people were saying that could mean that the Wildcats are going to fold. Thankfully, that's not the case. How are the Wildcats getting on with this? I mean, it seems to be a lot of stuff going on. How do the players react when there's all this talk going on about whether there may or may not be a competition, whether there may or may not be a Perth Wildcats?
You know, just to give some clarity to the situation, I got involved with the Wildcats since Jack Bendat purchased the club 3 years ago. And the Wildcats have gone great over the last 3 years. You know, we've had capacity attendance at Challenge Stadium last year and the year before. And last year we were at over capacity. The support from the members and corporates here in Perth has been tremendous. I would argue that as good as, you know, some of the heydays when basketball was on the, you know, the height of the sporting agenda here. Most of our issues have been overreached, and it has affected us. But, you know, we went to market on Friday back to our corporates and sponsors and really to the wider community, and the response to date has been tremendous. We hope that continues. We hope to make a few announcements in the coming weeks to show the progress to date. But yes, you know, there's a human side of it, and it's one of the reasons why we've been fighting not to take a break, because I don't believe now is the right time to put a competition on hold and put 200 players' lives, not to mention support staff and coaches, which we estimate to be around, you know, the 1,000 to 1,500 mark of people out of work, given the current economic climate. So, yes, players are very uncertain because, as I said before, they don't have transferable skills. Most of the office staff will find work. But players, especially the ones that have been playing basketball professionally from a very young age, don't have any transferable skills. And I don't think it's right for us to walk away from them with 6 weeks' notice.
No. And the Wildcats have been asking for more corporate sponsorship at the moment. Is there a concern there that there's not enough money to keep the club going forward? Or is this just a natural part of the future of the Wildcats is going back to the corporate market and saying, we need your help?
Well, it's very simple. The club has got a very good business model, but our limitations in the venue have affected our growth. The state government has been tremendous in supporting us and very recently have provided us with a pathway to the new Perth Arena, which we believe we could move into the day it opens. That's how good our support is. But we need to get to that mark, and that's 2 years away. Until now, we've relied on the benevolence of Jack Bendat, who I've personally witnessed give back more than his fair share to this community. What we're now looking at to the wider Perth community, especially the corporate citizens, is to say, you know, the Wildcats do far more than just play basketball. We play 28 games a year. For the remaining 340-odd days, we're out in the community doing a whole range of things that, if we don't exist, will be a void that won't be filled. And so we're asking for corporates, especially companies that are doing well in this environment, to get on board and support us in those activities until we get to a bigger venue where we will we'll have a much different business model.
Well, certainly it's a great club to support because when we hear in the media all these reports of sports people behaving badly, nothing like that seems to touch the Wildcats. There must be a strategy that you've put in place to make sure that the culture there is one that is going to be family friendly, that is going to support the players and support the supporters.
You know, we have this principle in the organization that says we exist to inspire and entertain through sporting excellence. And you know, we put inspiration first. Whilst we're not a Christian club, there's a significant focus on that, and that comes as a byproduct of our policy of character first. You know, my first week in the job, we had to deal with a player who had tested positive for drugs. Now, in most other sports, even according to the international standards, that player would typically be allowed to play. But we have a zero-tolerance policy, but more a cultural direction at the club where it's, sport is an avenue to inspire and be role models. And that flows right through the whole organization. We sometimes get criticized when we lose a West Australian player, for example. But I've made it very clear that we don't employ West Australians first. We employ character first. And that's our fundamental building block. Because when you get players, and some of the new players struggle with this, but when we get players at the Wildcats, we talk to them about their privilege and their responsibility to the world around them. There is something to be said about a 7-foot athlete, like our captain, who's played at the Olympics, played in the NBA, who walks into a school and says to a young kid, I believe in you. I believe in what you want to do and who you can be. And some of these, some kids just need to hear that from their role models. When a 7-footer looks into a classroom and says bullying is unacceptable, that is not on. I mean, we have a huge impact on kids, and the same in the community. In remote communities, and we take very seriously in our roles as men. And the impact we have on other men in the community. Certainly in the office, we have a very strong policy against swearing. We have a policy that says swearing is a sign of weakness. And this backs into your previous show about, conflict management. We strongly believe that swearing is a sign of weakness. We have a policy, and we'll push it further, especially with the new coach we've hired, which is also based on this character first principles, is that we don't want players to argue with the referees. I know it's difficult. But we've got to honour the office of a referee, and we'll see more of that next year. And I think what we're looking at is building a club that has strong cultural values, or strong principles, and that we believe is the reason for our success in the past and will be for the success in the future.
There is that wonderful culture there that you've just been talking about, but there's also a great culture of winning with the Wildcats, of getting out there, making sure that life is in order, so that you can go out and be the best that you can be. And the Wildcats have that proud history of getting out there on the court and showing that, you know, you can be men on the court too.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, manhood and being tough is both mental and physical. And when you have a culture of giving back, it shows on the court and it actually results in success on the court. You know, and I believe there is a reason for us to have won, you know, 4 championships and 23 consecutive playoffs, is because if you seek first to, you know, for the other person, then you will seek to pass first to the guy that's free, or you will be willing to set a screen for the guy who's got the ball, or you'd be willing to take a charge and know you're going to be knocked on the floor. Okay, but that's the culture that flows on court, and that's what results in wins.
So in the end, we're wanting to get more people behind the Wildcats, and the good news is the Wildcats are going to be around for quite some time to come.
Well, you know, that's certainly our plan, and we did go to the market and plea for help, and the response has been, you know, heartening so far. We do need more support, not just for now, but to set the club up so we never have to deal with this again. And from a business point of view, that's really my fundamental role moving forwards, is to set the foundation block so the Wildcats can be not just successful on court, but profitable, so we can do more in the community, you know, and attract more elite players and build Western Australia as a centre of excellence for basketball.
If people are wanting to find out more, they can go to the Wildcats website and follow the links there?
Yeah, 1-300-WILDCATS, or just go online, and we'd love, you know, more support, especially for companies that share the similar values to us. And you will be guaranteed, certainly as long as I'm there and for the, you know, the future of the club, that we will have those, you know, some certain high values that we aspire to as a club, and we've set those foundations for the future of the club.
Well, it's great to get a bit of an understanding behind the scenes there of the Wildcats. It's also wonderful to know that we're going to see these guys get out and play their hearts out come the 1st of October when the competition gets underway. Nick, thanks for dropping in and talking to us a little bit about what's going on with the Wildcats.
It's a pleasure, and thanks to Sunshine FM for supporting us, certainly Lakeside, but supporting us over the years. We really appreciate it, and we don't take that for granted at all.
So thank you.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.